Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
God is good. Amen. All the time. It's good to see you this Sunday morning. There's a few people out today. I don't know why. Summer's over. I want you to text the person who's not here today and be like, "Hey man, summer's over. Get yourself back in church." But we welcome you to the house of God this morning. I want to reiterate an announcement that was already made, but it's important. You know, we're building our teams, our Sunday serve team, and we want more people to serve who aren't already serving. Amen. We have a lot of people who wear multiple hats, and we want someone that doesn't wear any hats to come alongside us and help serve your church and the people of God. So I know Gio gave an announcement to see Sister Haiti. If you're interested in serving specifically on the Sunday serve team, there's some spots that we're trying to fill. And we did get some people interested, and they're all, let me tell you, they're all women, okay? They're all women. No, that's not a woo-woo. That's a shame. Come on, we just had like 40 men last week right here who had finished the discipleship class. Let's get some of the men to say, "Hey, I'll serve." Amen? The only ones that said amen were the women. Come on. All right. Praise God. I'm just gonna let that sit there, and Holy Spirit, maybe He'll convict you. But we need some men, man. We need men to serve. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to the Word this morning. I believe there's some confirmation of this Word. Gio mentioned a verse that I'll be preaching from, and this last song is very much in alignment with the sermon. So I believe that God has this word specific for today. It's out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. You could stand up with me as we read the word. Mark 10, 17 through 27. Amen. You there? Amen. It says, "As he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Well, you know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your parents.' And he said to him, 'Teacher, all of these I have kept from my youth.' Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me.' Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, 'How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them again, 'Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.' And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, 'Then who can be saved?' And Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God.'" Amen. You can take your seat this morning. I entitled the sermon, "Walk Away." Walk away. Tell the person next to you, "Walk away." This is not a sermon on money or wealth, but it is a sermon on treasure. When I was reading this passage this week, I kind of saw a whole other angle that I'd never really seen before, and I want to preach from that angle. Now, to be clear, I'm not reinterpreting scripture. Jesus is speaking about wealth in this passage. He's speaking about stored treasure, as in great possessions and money and riches and power and all that stuff. But those things are not the subject of this passage. Those things are not inherently evil. The problem is that they often make people less dependent on God. They make people feel like they need God less. And that's the danger of what Jesus warns about. The danger is in the love of wealth to the point that it becomes an idol. It becomes your treasure. But anything can be an idol. See or no? Anything can become a treasure. And while many people believe that they have walked away from a lifestyle of sin, the next question becomes, have you walked away from your earthly treasure? And maybe this is why the disciples were so astonished at this teaching, because it's one thing to leave behind your sin. It's another thing to leave behind a lifetime of stored treasure. We might not realize it because this passage isn't, you know, speaking directly to sin, but Jesus was calling this man to repent. I've said before that sin is not the only thing that we repent from. Sometimes we need to repent from our priorities. We need to repent from selfish ambition. We need to repent from mindsets and even things that can be considered good but are somehow taking us away from God. Those things might require us to give them up, give them to God, repent. This is why, this, by the way, we should never mess with other people's convictions. Never. Like, I've heard people say before, man, God told me to walk away from this really high-paying, comfortable job that provided my family a lot of security because he was putting me in a season of trusting in him. He's teaching me how to have faith in him. Now, sometimes other people hear that conviction and they get offended by other people's convictions because they think they're applying their convictions to them. And so we think, well, I got a high-paying job. I'm comfortable. I'm secure. Are you saying that I'm in sin? Are you saying that I need to quit my job to put all my faith in Christ? And it's like, no, bro, like God deals with his people as individuals. What he calls you to walk away from, he might be calling somebody else to walk towards. This is a matter of treasure. Because Jesus says, as my brother Gio said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And Jesus cared about the heart of this young rich man. The text says that he looked at him, he had compassion on him, he loved him, and he told him the truth. You need to walk away from your treasure. Walk away and come follow me. Repentance means a change of mind. That's what repentance is. Metanoia is the Greek word for repent, and it literally means to change your mind. So when Scripture is calling us to repent, it's calling us to change course, to be, as Paul says, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Repentance is not just a change of opinion. It's a change of mental direction that feeds into the heart, that makes us desire the things of Christ, that make us abide in Christ style. It's not just a change of mind. It's a change of direction. So Paul says, I declare to those in Damascus, Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea and the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. So it's a change of mind, and it's a change of action. Sometimes repentance calls you to change your scenery. It calls you to change your friends. It calls you to change from socializing with the people that you love the most. Sometimes it calls you away from your family. That's what repentance looks like sometimes. So the question I have for you today is, what is God calling you to walk away from? And maybe you don't know because you've already given up the sin, or at least you're trying to. Maybe the better question is, what is your treasure? What do you value? Do you value pleasure? Do you value comfort? Do you value security? Do you value influence? These are the treasure boxes of our lives that we fill things with, whether sinful or not. But Jesus isn't just asking for the sin. He's asking for the treasure chest. He's asking for the whole thing. Are you getting it? Like, I want you to understand, this rich man, he valued godly things. He did. But it wasn't until he had this encounter with Jesus that he realizes that his treasure wasn't even in heaven. What he valued more than a total surrender to God was his current lifestyle. It was what he had. Compare this with the disciples, the 12 disciples. They walked away from businesses, their friends, good jobs. They walked away from family members to follow Jesus and pursue the kingdom of God. This man represents what the disciples would have been had they said no to Jesus. And maybe we reason, well, Pastor, this man's wealth was probably much more vast than the disciples combined. He probably had so much more to lose. And we're here praising the disciples. Most of them were already poor. Their businesses were struggles. They didn't have a lot to lose. And that's kind of the point. You missed it. That's the point. Not having a lot to lose. Because when you have too much to lose, because you're anchored yourself in the things of this world, it's going to be harder to walk away from them when God calls you. It's about living our lives with not a lot to lose. I don't know if you either not getting it or you're like, nah, Pastor, that's a hard word. We should never have so much to lose because we're storing the things here on this earth. It doesn't mean it's sinful to have stuff. It doesn't mean it's sinful to be wealthy or you can't work hard for worldly things here. Not even Jesus did that. And he could have. He could have had everything. That was one of his temptations by the enemy in the wilderness. I'll give you everything. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world right here, right now. All you got to do is surrender to me. And Jesus knew, my kingdom is not of this world. It is of the kingdom of God. That's where I stand. That's where I'm storing my treasure. And we don't always see it that way. And remember, this is not just about material stuff that we store. It's lifestyles. It's pleasure. It's comfort. It's security. It's earthly peace. It's the friends. It's the relationships. The worldly stuff that we crave. And a lot of people, week after week, they come to church looking for answers. These type of answers that this young rich ruler was asking about. Questions like, what do I need to do to be saved? How can I be free? How can I be delivered? How can I stop dealing with this struggle? How can I live a more righteous life, a more peaceful life? I've been pastoring a long time. These are the questions we hear a lot. Like this young man, people desire freedom. We desire salvation. We desire forgiveness. We desire to be in good standing with God. That's what we desire. That's why you're here today, because you want to be in good standing with God. And so when people ask these type of questions, the type of answers that any good Bible-believing Christians would give is, well, you have to repent, you have to renounce, and you have to ask for forgiveness. And so we lead people into a prayer of salvation, and we pray over people as they renounce spirits that are contaminating their soul, and we ask people to ask Jesus into their heart, and that's great, but I want you to know, those are just words. They're just words. And if you've been a Christian for a long time and you have dealt with the same sin, maybe it's habitual sin or maybe it's some type of struggle, you know better than even to say the words, Lord, I repent anymore. Because you know it's not about what you say, it's about what you walk away from. It's about what you do, not what you say. And so we got Christians living in shame because they can't even repent anymore, not because they don't know what to say, but because they don't know how to let it go. These are just words. What this passage does is it illustrates what actually needs to take place. This is what actually needs to take place for us to fully follow Jesus, unhindered from sin. So the Bible says this man runs up to Jesus, right? And he's probably all excited, eager to talk to the good teacher. Maybe he thinks Jesus is going to give him this supernatural touch and it's going to make everything better. Maybe he thinks that Jesus is going to prophesy something over his life and it's going to be this mind-blowing revelation. Like that's what, let's be honest, that's what we want sometimes. That we want something quick, something easy, like a magic touch, a magic pill, a magic prayer, a magic word. And we don't call it magic, we call it spiritual. But essentially, that's what we want. We want freedom to be so easy that we reduce it to mere words and a single moment. Do I gotta say that again? Because, man, y'all, it's not talking this morning. We want freedom and deliverance to be so easy that we reduce it to a single moment at an altar on one Sunday. That's it. So, okay, you want to accept Jesus? Okay, say this prayer. Say, I repent. Say your name. Say your name. Say it out loud. Jesus can't hear you. Say your name. I repent. Bam. See you in heaven, brother. Now, I'm not diminishing the value of that process. Like, that is the process. That's a biblical process. You want to be free? Renounce it. Confess it. It's really that simple, but it's not that easy. You see, in one single moment, please hear me, Jesus can save you. Okay? It's not too powerful. Nothing's too powerful for him. He already defeated sin on the cross when he said, it is finished. That was him stamping your freedom. All we have to do is accept him and receive him and walk with him. And the moment we say, Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior, you know what happens? God gives you the keys to the kingdom. He gives you the keys to eternal life. But you know what? Hold on. Before you start clapping, after that, when you leave church, now you got to start walking towards the kingdom that possesses eternal life, because we're not there yet, brother. We ain't there yet. We're still in this world. We're still fighting. We're still being tempted. We're still struggling. We're still falling over our sin. We got the keys, but we got to walk to open the door. And so people come to church eager, like this man was eager to meet Jesus. And they're looking for prayer, and they're looking for counsel, and they're looking for deliverance, and they're looking for everything. And they pass all the oral exams. Man, I'm preaching, man, because I see it. I see it week after week. People come to the altar and they pass every oral exam. Okay, I accept Jesus. Okay, I renounce my sin. Okay, I repent, but they're just words if the action isn't attached to it. And people will go home for a while and they'll be okay for a little bit because it was a really good service. It's a really powerful sermon. It really spoke. But again, the problem that no one talks about regarding repentance is it's not just walking away from sin. Sometimes it's walking away from everything surrounding the sin. That's the hard part that we're not willing to accept. We don't realize that our environment has become the treasure. We've renounced the sin, but we're still in the environment. We're not willing to go that far. So you say, Pastor, I came to church and I renounced. You came to church last week. We had a great time. Pastor, you preached about jealousy. And I said, Lord, have my jealousy. But he might need to take the Instagram too, because that's feeding into the jealousy. You got to change your environment. Don't just change your mind about the sin. Change where you're walking. Change what you're surrounded in. You've given up the sin, but it's the whole treasure box that God wants. Because if you value pleasure over eternity, you're still in shackles. Lust is just a sin in the box of pleasure. And maybe you replace lust with something else that brings you pleasure. And maybe it's not as bad as lust, but it's still something that you're treasuring. You got to get rid of the box. If you value influence over the kingdom, you're still in bondage. If you desire security over faith, you're still in chains. Jesus said, you lack one thing. You lack one thing. And then he told them what his treasure was. He said, give it away. Give the treasure away. And when you do that, there's going to be treasure in heaven for you. He wasn't asking him to renounce his sin. He was asking him to trade his treasure. What is the treasure that God is asking you to trade? This is the problem that I find in the homeless community a lot. Now, I know not everybody thinks this way, but I talk to a lot of homeless people throughout the week, and they come in, they want water or coffee or a meal, and I sit down with them, and if y'all learned anything about me last week, I like to go directly to level two, right? So I don't do the small talk. I go in for the deep questions, like, hey, why are you homeless? I do. Why are you here? What got you here? What else am I going to ask about? Why are you here? What's got you here? And 99% of the time, it's the same answer. Drugs, alcohol. That's fine. That's the sin. But then I ask, but what of your environment? Tell me about that. What was not working in your life that made you turn to this? Who were your friends? What was your environment like? What kind of support system did you or did you not have? And a lot of times, whether they're off the drugs or not, they're still not in a good environment. Their lifestyle is what they need to walk away from. And the sad thing is, many times I'll ask them, do you want to check into a rehab center? I know I have a friend down the street. He runs a rehab center. They'll feed you. They'll clothe you. They'll give you work. They'll provide three meals a day. They'll provide housing. Do you want me to take you? And not one of them has took me up on that offer. This man's wealth wasn't the problem. It was his lifestyle of storing treasure that he was unwilling to walk away from. He wanted eternal life. He wanted freedom. Many of us, again, we're here because we want to be in good standing with God. We want godly things. We want godly connections. But we're not willing to go that far. We're willing to go far. We're willing to do some things. But we're not willing to go all the way. And that's the problem with American Christianity. We think we're good. Are you listening? We think we're good. But we got no concept of what good is. This is why Jesus rebukes the man when he calls him good. Jesus needs him to know that nothing is good. Not the law, not religion, not ministry, not tradition, not your family. If it is not connected to the Father, nothing is good apart from God the Father. Nothing. Now, it's still not getting to you because look. What's going to happen in January is you're going to say, this year I'm going to get closer to God. And so what's going to happen? What are you going to do? You're going to tweak your spiritual life a little bit. You're going to fine tune it. That's what you're going to do. That's what we do. We start waking up a little bit more early to read the Bible, to spend time in devotion. We say, okay, I'm gonna make fasting a part of the routine. I'm going to listen to worship music a little bit more. I'm going to get a little bit more involved in church. You know what that's called? That's called piety. That's piety. And we love piety. To us, piety is good. To us, that's what makes us appear holy to the world. He would have been considered youth at 12 years old. At 12 years old, that's when I became a man. I have been living this lifestyle in tune with the law. What more can I do? What else can I tweak so I can get a little bit closer? But Jesus would have us know that none of that, none of your little spiritual tweaks are inherently good if we still have treasure boxes right here. Do what you gotta do. Fast for 40 days if you want. If you're still storing treasures here, that fast is just leaving you hungry and skinny. That's it. Nothing is good. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that mind-blowing that Jesus deflects goodness? Good teacher, tell me what I got to do. You got all the answers. You're Jesus. You're good. Tell me everything. Tell me all the spiritual things that I got to do. Jesus says, hold on. The only one that's good is God, the Father. So I can give you the formula. I can give you the things. I can give you these little spiritual tweaks. But if you're disconnected from the Father, none of it's good. None of it's good. And again, this is why the disciples asked, well, dang, who can be saved? What's your treasure? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you today. Not what's your sin, what's your treasure? Not what's your struggle, what's your treasure? I have to ask myself this question probably once a month. To check my heart. I'll be real with you. There are things in this world that I care about that are fleeting. We all have those things. There are things that I value that have no eternity. And treasures on earth, my heart is saying, this is where I really want to be. The Greek word is thesauros. That's treasure. It means a place of safekeeping. So we think of treasure, we think of, you know, treasure chests, a bunch of gold in it, valuable things, but that's not entirely correct. Your treasure is anything keeping you here. That's your treasure. It's anything that's meant to keep you comfortable and away from eternity. So as I'm about to close, but I want to give you one last piece of spiritual wisdom. If you're taking notes, this is what I want you to write down. Be careful with worldly things. I'm going to say it again. Be careful with worldly things. Can't say I used to hate the word worldly. I used to hate it because everybody would abuse it. Everything was worldly. Going to the movies was worldly. Music, worldly. Secular jobs, worldly books. I had an earring when I was 11. It was a loop earring. You know, it was my NSYNC era. My grandpa looked at me. And discuss worldly. Everything, tattoos, worldly, JNCO jeans. Who knows about them JNCOs, man? Worldly. Everything was worldly. Makeup, worldly, depending on who you ask. If it ain't a skirt down to your ankles, worldly. Everything was worldly. And so growing up in the church, since I was zero, I would grow up here in the world worldly. I'm like, God, everything's worldly. I can't do nothing. But I tell you what, I get it now. And the Holy Spirit was the one who taught it to me. It wasn't the super religious people. It was the Holy Spirit. Because look, I'll be honest with you. I love going to the movies. If you think it's a sin, you know, it's your conviction. I still jam in sync every now and then. I'm just being honest. I'm being transparent. Here's what the Holy Spirit taught me. The thing about worldliness is that it wants to keep you in the world. And it doesn't have to be sinful to be worldly. But if you've got too much of the world in you, that may be where your heart is. And if your heart is in the world, it's not in heaven, my friend. And that's the sad part. And so I get it. When my grandparents, who I thought were super old school, were telling me, don't be involved in worldly things, because they genuinely cared about my soul. Be careful with worldliness. That is the danger of worldliness. This is why we have to take heed and be mindful of what we're storing and where we're storing it, because the world will convince you that because it's not sinful, it's okay. Be careful, church. Because even though we are in the world, we are not of the world. We're not of the world. So I love the movies. My favorite pastime. That's date night. Me and my wife, that's what we do. We go to the movies. I don't want to do anything else. I want to go to the movies and hang out. And so if one day the trumpet sounds and I'm just sitting down with my bucket of popcorn and M&M's, because that's how I do. I like to combine them. And I sit down and I'm watching the next Spider-Man movie and that trumpet sounds, peace out, Tom Holland. Like I'm not that connected to the world. But there's other things that have kept us anchored to a place that is not eternal. And that's what God is asking for today. That's what he wants you to turn away from. A few weeks ago, I preached out of James 1:27, mainly the first half of that verse. I want us to look at the last part. He says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Also, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. These words, unstained and conformed, those are the ones that I really want you to really pray about. Because if there is anything of the world that is staining your heart, if there is anything in the world that is conforming you to look like it, you may be storing treasure here. And God is asking you to walk away from it. There should be nothing of the world that sticks to us, that anchors us, that forms us. We should be able to get to the Father one day and present ourselves unblemished, unstained by the world. There's no sin there. There's no baggage there. There's no habits that make us look like the world. There's no treasure that is not already stored in heaven. So I ask you again, church, what's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Ask the Holy Spirit this morning to reveal it to you. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to have my prayer team come up. Prayer team. Thank you, Jesus. Right there where you're at, can I pray over you? Come on, bow your heads. Heavenly Father, my God, there are things, my God, things that we even consider good that we're holding tight to, Father God, and it's keeping us further from you, Lord. My God, I pray, Father God, that you convict us this morning. That's my prayer this morning, that you would convict us And that you would let us know, my God, what you are asking us to walk away from, my God, to follow you, Jesus. To be anchored to you, my God, and nothing else, Lord. So whether that be a job, whether that be security, whether that be wealth, whether that be friends, family, influence, whatever it is, whether it be sin, my God, whether it be pleasure, God, Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see so that we may walk away, Father God, and run to eternity. I thank you, my God, because you prepare a place for me. You prepare a room for us, my God, in your Father's house, Lord, where there are plenty of rooms, my God, where we can go, my God, and we can have life eternal, peace eternal, joy eternal. I thank you because you've already made my room for me, my God. Lord, and I pray that we would get there. I pray that we would leave every worldly possession behind and walk towards you, Father God. So I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you would convict. You would convict and you would speak. And my altar call this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed still, if there's something that God is, you know, that the Holy Spirit is asking you to walk away from, I want you to come forward. You don't need to bring the details. It's just you and God. I want you to walk away from it, and I want you to renounce it, and I want you to give it to God, and I want you to commit that when you leave here today, you're going to begin walking towards eternity and away from this thing that has anchored you here. Come on, if that's you this morning, come forward. Come forward.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at My Pneuma Church. Thanks again, and God bless.